This is
Fight Disciples.
We are the Fight Disciples and we are live, and once again we continue the series of At Home With the main man, Tony Bell. You fresh from his holidays, still got that wicked tan.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy it? Nice break?
Nice break, mate, yeah. Kids enjoyed it and we got away and done what we do, just swim around, mess around the pool all day, go to the beach, piss around there and then ease and more ease and ease again, so it's holiday.
You say that, but you're still looking well. I still think back to the days when you used to say to me, as soon as I retire, Nick, wait and see how fat I get.
Do you know what,
but you haven't?
I had a go at that, and don't get me wrong, I'm not slim and I'm not trim in the slightest, but I got to the stage where I was 17 stone plus, and I thought, I need to do something here, because I couldn't play footy with the lads and my mates and do things, certain things, and then it was just getting heavier and heavier, and then the worst thing happened, I got injured. I snapped my ligaments in my ankle, the one going across my leg there, so the pain was the worst pain in 20 years of fighting, the worst pain I've ever had playing football.
Wow.
I snapped my ligaments. I went in the playing on Goodison Park and just went over on the
too
ball.
Much?
I don't know what it was, mate, but that was done, then my weight gained again, increased. And then I started my diet and stuff like that and trying to get back in shape. And I'm still trying, still fighting, but it's not easy, mate, I'll tell you that.
Snapping your ligament, that must have given you a new understanding of what Hay potentially went through in that first fight.
A little
didn't
bit.
Didn't he snap a ligament or ruptured a ligament?
He ruptured his Achilles tendon. Kind of, yeah. It's when I'd done it at first, I thought, I've just rolled my ankle. Yeah. And I hobbled off Goodison Park. And then I was in the physio room, and as the minute that you went by, the pain intensified.
Once the adrenaline started coming down.
Yeah, and I was in the physio room, and there was a young physio there, and he was phoning his dad, because his dad was one of the head physios at Everton Football Club, and your dad was getting called
as well. Jack Bain was there, and he was ringing his dad.
So little Jack was panicking, and he was going, Dad, I think he might have broke his leg and stuff like that, and I was going, oh, the pain. And I've never experienced it before. I was sitting on the bed and I had no control of my bowels. I thought I was going to shit my pants while I was sitting on the bed. I kept farting, and I had no say on why it was happening to me. And then Ozzy was the manager, so Ozzy come in, and I'm forever saying to him, you tart, when you go on the floor, you're rolling around like girls and stuff like that, and it's just come back to bite me on the ass.
He come in like that,
He said to me, you've only rolled your ankle. But he said to me, when you first went down, he said, the way you went, I thought you broke your leg.
Yeah.
Because my leg went that way, my body went the other way, and it was just a horrible thing. He had all the cracks and snaps on the way down. It was horrible, but yeah, snap ligament, but it is what it is.
It's on the recovery now.
Yeah.
You were obviously away. You missed the first game of the season. Listen, you know I'm a Liverpool fan, but yeah. I seen footage from Goodison Park for the first home game, and the team were coming out, the flags. Listen, I don't care what people say. I think the flags look great. And if I was a kid at the ground, I'd be up for it. I'd love it. But hearing Zed cars, but first of all, the air raid sirens, your sirens coming on first, you must still see that and go, you know, you've had an impact there on your football club, do you know what I mean? On getting the players ready for the game. You must get a buzz out of it. Because I listen to it, I'm like, why are the ears on the back of my neck standing up here? Down, I'm a Liverpool fan.
Expecting me to walk out to the red boxing gloves on. I don't really give it a thought. I just go to the game and love watching the lads play and support the club. So I tend not to think it's about me. I mean, I know the way Zed Cars comes on now is a little bit different for certain games. He played the old one, for certain games he played the new type of version. It is what it is, mate. You know, I just created that. I always remember sitting down, Anton Powers. Well, the first people I sat down with was Calvi, one of the DJs, and Lee Butler. And then I got it all revamped and redone, and I started getting Are You Not Entertained? And then I went and seen Anton Powers. Anton Powers done my final, you know, demo of it, and it was great. So I don't know. It's just, that's boxing, it's football, so it's just boss, mate. It's great to, it's great that the season started well for us. That's the most important thing. A draw and a win, still unbeaten, and we can go top of the league on Friday if we win.
I know, which
hasn't been done in something like 20 years, I'm told.
I tell you what, I'm madly excited about Moise Kean as well. Like, I just can't wait to see him play. I think from that age, potentially on paper, the kid could be a bit of a world beater, and to get him at this age and for the price you have. could be another Tim Cahill. I'm trying to play. Yeah. I'm trying to be as pro effort as I can here. But
you hope so. But I'm always optimistic when lads are coming in from foreign shores. So he needs to learn to the Premiership, learn the Premiership way. Excuse me, learn the Premiership way and integrate himself into the squad and see if this is the way of life that he wants over here, because England's a lot different from Italy.
Yeah,
really,
yeah.
As you know, I've been to Italy, I've spent time there. And England and the northwest of Liverpool is a much, much different place. So he's going to have to learn to acclimatise, get used to the way of life, the chain and everything. But hopefully, you know, he just hits the ground running.
Yeah.
And we see the best of him early doors. You know, he looks to be a quality player, scored some great goals at Juventus. He's an Italian international. People will think, you've got him for the snip, is he a bad egg? Because that's the first thing that comes to your mind when you get a player of such quality and he's cheap. You think he's a bad egg, he wants them out. But when you've seen the players that are getting out of Juventus, you've obviously seen they've got a beast, they've got to sell.
Yeah.
And that's why we've got him for the snip, because Juventus needed to sell and we needed to buy.
Fingers crossed it all turns out. One lad that is hitting the road himself, well, he's actually on the road at the moment, so I think he's just arrived and has got a big challenge at Edders Anthony Yard. Obviously goes out to, he's in Russia, touched down in Russia yesterday. I don't know if you've seen the footage. He got to Shabinsk and his bags didn't. So he flew into Moscow, connected, went through to Shabinsk. When he got there, his bags hadn't made the trip. So he's in Shabinsk at the moment with Tunde, with no luggage except the clothes on his back. Is this all part of the...
Of course.
Yeah.
He'll have known, you know, literally to accept anything that's thrown at you. And the most important thing is be prepared. So from what I've heard, he had a rucksack on his back. I'm sure he's had a few loose bits in that. Clean pair of bills, clean pair of socks. Yeah.
Gum shield.
At the end of the day, mate, he won't care. As long as he's got his gum shield and his low blow in that bag and his boxing boots, fight on.
Yeah.
You know, literally, that's just how it goes. It's one of them things, mate. I remember fighting Adonis Stevenson and living in Jersey City for 4 weeks and then travelling from Jersey City over to Canada and getting to Canada and it was minus 19.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it didn't work out well for me in the end, but my preparation, I was there I was away from my family for a month. I was living in America for a month and I was in Canada for an extra week, so 5 weeks. You've just got to have a mindset. If I'm going to war and I'll do whatever it takes, you can throw anything you want at me. It's not going to affect me. It's not going to bother me.
No.
And that's, I'm sure Yard will have that mindset. You know, he's a winner, the kid. You know, he's yet to taste defeat. I think it's a really hard fight. The only thing I don't like is he's jumping so many levels in one go.
Yeah.
It's not like he's being won a British title, a European, a Commonwealth, all that kind of thing. It's from literally, I don't want to say no one, it's from literally fringe level of, you know, it's domestic level, straight to the highest level in the world level.
Yeah.
And that's a big, big jump to make. And, you know, hopefully his power can tell in the fighter and he gets rid of Kovalev, but if it goes past 4 or 5 rounds, then you know you're all really going to see the golfing class and the little tricks that you can't learn fighting journeymen, that you can't learn fighting B-level opponents. You'll have to mix it with good level of fighters. So I say myself, going through the rankings, my last world title fight on my third attempt at the WBC title, I'd experienced, I'd been British, Commonwealth, European champion, I'd fought world champions, I'd fought former world champions and I'd beaten them. It's an education.
Yeah,
and it's just the way you progress through the ranks. And don't get me wrong, I could have been fortunate. I could have got the decision in my first world title fight.
Yeah, with Cleverly.
And being world champion in my 16th fight. But in hindsight, when I look back, I still wasn't ready then. That was a domestic level fight. There should never have been a world title fight at stake. I still think I won to this day. But you're kind of lucky when I come against Adonis Stevenson. It's shown I faced a really elite level fighter and lost hands down. You know, that was one of the hardest fights to take, but you've got to learn. Even when you have a loss, as long as you learn from it, it's not really a loss, it's a lesson. And that's what a lot of fighters don't really take on board these days. Everyone's just like, oh, once he loses, it's over. Well, it's not really. Because
no.
As I say, if you've learned your lessons from the defeat, then you can only come back stronger.
Is that the big issue that he's got out there, just purely down to experience? And if that's the case, do you think you're just going to go out there and just start letting bombs go from the beginning and just see if he can get lucky, see if he can catch Kovalev? Because interesting interview this week with Ben Davidson. And I know, you know, they're all tied to Frank and to BT Sport, so there might be a little bit of, you know, salesmanship here.
Yeah.
But Ben Davidson was saying, technically, what I've seen from Anthony Yard, even though he's not done it anywhere near this level, and Kovalev has been at this level for a long time, technically Anthony Yard's a better boxer. And if he can take that into the ring, then he can beat Kovalev. I don't really see that because I've not seen it at any real level.
Yeah.
But then, you know, who am I to judge compared to Ben Davidson? But from the outside looking in, I'm thinking, get in there, pounce on him, let them bombs go. And kind of, it's tough because he's jumping up to fight against Kovalev, and no matter what he says, when he stands in that ring, he will look across and he will see the world number one light heavyweight, a guy that's been at the top of the tree for an awful long time. And it will dawn on him then, I've got to change, I've got to do something different, I've got to be better than what I've done before. Whereas that might take something away of what has got Yard here in the first place. Yeah. The fact that he's just been a monster terrorising people.
Yeah, you know, it's a catch-22. You've got to take your opportunity because it's there. But are you ready? Well, on paper, no, you're not ready. For Ben Davidson to say that he thinks Yard is technically better than Kovalev is, poof, that's a big one. You know, you've got to look at it. Yard is not tested at any kind of level yet, so we don't know. But Kovalev has been in with the likes of Andre Ward in that first fight, matched Andre Ward all the way.
Yeah, absolutely.
And don't get me wrong, I do think he's on the slide a bit. I'm not trying to make any excuse, but you know, I seen him against Alvarez, and he wasn't at his best. And you've seen, you know, he got bullied at times in that fight. I think when he first come on the scene and he was so rough and ready, he was a monster. No one wants to cross him. But I think American lifestyle and American way of life has kind of, I don't want to say softened him, but in my opinion, he quit against Andre Ward in that second fight. He spewed it. He had enough and he just went, I've had enough. And the old Sergei Kovalev would never have done that. He just battled on and done back to him what got done to him. You know, he got it low, he whinged, he moaned, and then he just spewed it. If Sergei Kovalev would have got hit low against Nathan Cleverly, do you really think he would have spewed it? You know, the fact that he's pounced on him and just done it back. I don't know, it's an interesting fight. I really hope Yard does it. It would be great to have another British world champion, but he really is up against it. Unless, you know, and I don't want to say he's got old overnight because he hasn't, you know. He's come back against Alvarez and he's got the win. He still didn't look great, to be honest, but you know, he's got a win. And he goes into this fight as an overwhelming favourite, I would think so, Kovalev.
Yeah.
But Anthony Yard has it all to do, has it all to prove, is younger, is fresher, is much quicker. That's what I would say. He's much quicker than Sergei Kovalev. Technically, I'm not very sure about that. I don't think so at all. I think Kovalev technically is very good. Yeah. Solid jab, does the basics well, goes the body well. A little bit too easy to hit, but he's shown a sound chin. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it'll just be interesting to see. And then also, I'm not too sure, even if he is the number one anymore, because Kovacic's, you know, destruction of brilliant Adonis Stevenson puts him right there.
Yeah.
So, you know, who do you rate as number one? I don't know, but it will have to be settled in a boxing ring, because it's either Kovalev or it's Kovacic or there's a couple of others floating around. It's a dangerous division, like every division, Nick, and it's deep as well. And Yard's got to show this Saturday night that you know, he's one of the big men to beat there.
Yeah. If he does do it, will it go down as one of the biggest upsets by a British boxer on the road? Is it up there with Lloyd Donegan, Don Curry? Is it up there with, you know, some of the biggest ones?
I think boxing's different now. You know, I don't think anyone actually gave Lloyd Donegan a hope on the planet, whereas people are actually giving Yard a chance because they've seen, you know, what is he, 21-0 or something like that? And when you're 21-0, it doesn't matter who you're facing, you've got a chance because you're unbeaten, you've beat 21 people, you've beat all before you. So you have to give him a chance. I mean, when Lloyd Hunnigan went out there, he you know, Don Curry was one of the best pound-pound fights in the world.
Yeah.
And that's why it shocked so many. I think there will have been bigger shocks if he pulls it off, but you know, it is up there with one of the best British wins on foreign soil. Off the top of my head, when I think about them and I go over them, you know, I always say about James DeGale beating Andre Dirrell,
yeah,
in the States is an absolutely phenomenal win. It really is. Going out there against all the odds and against a classy southpaw, and he drops him twice and gets the job done. So there's a few that come to mind, but just off the top of my head, you know, I don't think Lloyd Donegan will be surpassed. The only person that could surpass anything on English soil is going to be Luke Campbell.
Well, that's it. That brings us on nicely to next week's fight. Luke Campbell, obviously, with Lomachenko. Lomachenko, you know, for me, best pound-for-pound boxer on the planet. Just got everything. Do you agree? And what makes him so good?
I think he's the best pound-for-pound fighter in the whole world. What makes him so good, he's the most equally balanced fighter in offense and defense in the world, in my opinion. There's nothing this boy can't do. It's not just the fact of what he can do and what he can and can't do. That's not why I rate him as the best. It's that this guy's going in against fellow world champions and making them look like novices.
Yeah.
He's positioning them to where he wants them in the ring.
Lomachenko making people quit.
It's unbelievable, mate. When he went in against Walters, I actually thought Walters was going to really test him. I thought this guy could really push him, and he made him quit.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. So it's what he can actually do.
It's not just to one style as well. Walters, big hitter.
Yeah.
You know, he's faced technical boxers, punchers, movers, Mexicans, Cubans, Olympic gold medalists.
Doesn't matter.
And he does it to them all.
It's because he can adapt to anyone and anything. And that is the beauty of why he's so good. You know, it's not just about he's so... Because I compared him to... And I haven't seen a boxer as so balanced since a Prime Roy Jones Jr. Because I think Prime Roy Jones Jr. is the greatest fighter I have ever seen in my whole lifetime. You know, I've watched him up close. I used to study him day in, day out, for year after year. And I've still never seen anyone like him. He is the closest thing I've seen. And the only thing that reason why Roy Jones Jr. surpassed him a little bit is because he had a little bit more power. That's the only thing that separates the two of them. I think he's that good.
Yeah.
And for me to say someone is that close to Roy Jones Jr. is like, I never thought I'd see that in my life.
But saying that, Roy Jones Jr. at his peak was at his proper weight division. This is not Lomachenko's proper weight division. Yeah. He's probably a super featherweight, really.
But you say that and then you look at Roy Jones Jr. Roy Jones Jr. starts at middleweight.
Yeah, true.
And then he goes to super middleweight, then he goes to light heavyweight, then he goes to heavyweight.
Yeah.
So he goes through the divisions and keeps beating world champions and keeps becoming a better champion, unifies divisions. So I don't know. It's each their own. Lomachenko, when I sat and spoke to him, I had a good chat, and he speaks enough English. He understands it better than he speaks it.
Yeah.
And I said, don't ever let size beat you, because it will be so disappointing. I said, the only thing that can ever beat you is size. I genuinely believe that. If he goes too high in the division, that's the only way he'll lose.
Yeah.
I said that's always
his face. Like Mikey Garcia and jump up too high.
I just think that's the only way he'll lose. And he just nodded and shook his head. And I said, you're the best fight I've ever seen, live up close, the way you are. And he was just very complimentary back. And he's unbelievable.
Quite unorthodox, though, as well. If you look at his training regime, similar to Roy Jones in a lot of ways. You know, Roy play a full basketball game the morning of fights and stuff like that. Crazy. Mm. Whereas, you know, you see Lomachenko, there's obviously the dancing thing in his background. You know, this week we've seen he was canoeing on a lake, and he's, you know, he just... Is that just to freshen things up? There's no secret there. It's not like every boxer needs to get a canoe quick.
No, it does what works for him.
Yeah.
You know, some people used to say, I used to overtrain and work too much. Some people say that, you know, you don't do enough weight, you don't do enough running. You'll probably look at his training regime and go, well, he doesn't lift enough weight, he doesn't do enough strength and conditioning. Well, he does. You know why? Because he performs on the night and he looks $1 million. So he does what works for him. Every fighter's makeup is different. You know, it is the way it is. You know, Dave Caldwell, I used to train alone when I was with Dave Caldwell. The other guys used to train together.
Yeah.
It's just different. Different guys, different, you know, things that... Different things for different fighters. And that's just how it is. The makeup for different fighters.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, you just got to learn to adjust and adapt your training. My training adapted and adjusted so much as I got older.
Yeah.
It was so much harder to lose weight. It was just... I can't say it was ever easy losing weight, but, you know, it was a lot easier making light heavyweight before I hit 30.
Yeah.
As soon as I hit 30, it's just like
it doesn't come off.
It just went, listen, lad, we've had enough. You know, get in the sauna or get for the run, because we're not getting any more off by doing a bit of boxing. And I say everyone's makeup's a little bit different, but he's a freak, mate. He's a genetic freak. There's nothing the boy can't do. I mean, I seen him kicking a tennis ball the other day, so he even looks like he's good at football.
He was doing kick-ups to the tennis ball.
I mean, I've been playing football 30 years, mate, and I can't do that still. I can't do that with a real football, to be honest.
Exactly.
So he's
one of them fellas that looks like he's just bossing everything. Yeah. Let's just hope and pray he's got a little dick to give us some kind of salvation.
To help us with life.
Exactly.
I've got a mate like that. His name's Neil Dance. And he's
got a little dick, so
he hasn't. He's blessed as well.
Let's talk about Luke Campbell then, because of course, listen, we're British, we're all going down here. We want to see Lomachenko, but of course, we want to see. Imagine if Luke Campbell did it. Imagine if he does cause the upset. How do they, you know, Shane McGuigan, isn't it? How do they get his mind right? Because I was around the Crawler camp before Crawler had it, and deep down inside, Crawler would look me in the eyes and was like, "I know this is Mission Impossible, but I've just got to prepare myself to go through the worst time ever and try and find an
outlast
opening.
Them. Yeah,
try and find an opening." So they were like sparring, fresh man. You know, they basically Crawler just got beat up in every camp. Mm. By people with fast hands. I think they brought in Frankie Gavin and Jazza, who just like peppered him with everything. And it was just to put him in a horrible place in every round. So he got to round 10 and still had the confidence to go, "I've just got to, I only need one shot. I'm going to try and do something." Obviously, it proved to be futile. But Luke Campbell, technically.
First of all, that's the wrong game plan to head in for. Just take. No one should ever go in a boxing match and think, just take, and the other guy will tire. That is that you can never.
I think it was the acceptance, really, that he's going to lose rounds.
He's got the acceptance of he's better than me, and that's what he's got. Whereas I just could never go into a boxing match thinking I'm going to take this, and this, and I'm going to outlast someone. Don't get me wrong, when I faced Vasyl Lomachenko, I didn't face him. They want no partner. That's how bad his mate, Alexander Usyk, beat me up.
Faced the bigger version, double XL.
I faced the XL version of Vasyl Lomachenko. His name's Alexander Usyk. And look what that done to me. It's even got me slurring my words. When I faced Usyk...
You studied Usyk for a long time. Yeah. You knew he was coming before everybody else.
Yes.
So you knew what a big challenge that was. Yes. So how did you approach that then? You know, let's look at the way you prepared in a way that Campbell should be preparing for.
I knew technically I could box with him in the first half of the fight. And what I didn't foresee is that I was going to be absolutely exhausted after 7 rounds. I just didn't see that coming. So it was something that's never happened to me before. I've just never used to get that tired in fights. Why, I don't know. I'll never know what it is, but I knew I could keep it in boxing, and I think I showed that in the fight. You know, my head after 7 rounds on 2 cards and drawn on 1. Luke Campbell's in a similar position to me. Luke Campbell can box with Vasily Lomachenko, he likes to be called. Mm-hmm. So he can box with him, but there's just so many more problems he's got to deal with, Nick. There's the movement. I think for Usyk, he wants to come here with a point to prove, so he wants to pressure me and put me under that pressure. I had nothing to lose. I was literally daring to be great. Yeah. I know that sounds corny, but I was going for a dream that I never dreamed that could ever be possible by fighting for all them belts. Now Luke Campbell's doing the same. Lomachenko doesn't feel like he has anything to prove, I don't think. I think he comes here and he just goes, right, I'll do this how I want to do it.
Yeah.
He moves. He dictates the pace. Even when he's not dictating the pace and he's going on the back foot, he's dictating the range.
Yeah.
And by dictating the range, ultimately you are dictating the pace, because if you're not in the range to be hit, then the guy's chasing you. And if he's, you know, if the only chance that I can give Luke Campbell in this fight, and I'm sorry to say that, is a puncher's chance. Because he can't dig a bit, you know, and he catches Vasily Lomachenko on the cold.
But we've seen Lomachenko get up off the canvas as well.
And it wasn't even a hard knockdown. It was more of a flash one that he's off balance.
Yeah, yeah.
And he gets clipped by Linares. I don't think I've seen him nailed once where his legs go completely. And it's Mission Impossible, it really is. If he wins, for me, it's right up there with Buster Douglas and Mike Tyson. It's that big of a shot.
Even though Campbell's obviously a former Olympic gold medalist.
Even though he's an Olympic gold medalist, even though he is what he is, it's a huge shock.
Yeah.
Because I just cannot see past Vasily Lomachenko. I literally can't, unless someone is just too big and too heavy. You know, I only see problems for him in the light welter and welterweight divisions. You know, I just think Errol Spencer's too big.
Yeah.
I think Terence Crawford's too big. But then again, I think that's an absolutely amazing fight.
Absolutely, yeah. How does Lomachenko define his legacy then? Because obviously there's a lot of talk at the moment about, socially no one's going to compare to what Ali did and achieved. But obviously there's still that question about the greatest boxer of all time, just pure boxer.
Yeah.
And there's half a dozen names in the frame now already. How does he force his way in with the Sugar Ray Leonards and the Sugar Ray Robinsons and the you know?
He just has to keep doing what he's doing, keep winning. And he just has to keep looking, making fellow world champions look like they don't belong in the same ring with him. That's the thing that he does that impressed me so much. He makes fellow world champions look like they should not be in there with him. Yeah. He makes it look like it's a mismatch. You know, he's like a bull with a matador at certain points in fights. He's literally saying, come and hit me, come and hit me. I'm waiting in the corner. There's me chin, hit me. And he's just like, it's like he's the Matrix, mate.
Yeah.
I really wouldn't know how to approach a fight like him. Like Usyk, for as great and as special as he is, he has got technical flaws. And there is vulnerabilities to his game.
Yeah.
You know, there's certain things that he doesn't like what you're doing in fighting. I'm not going to start disclosing what I've witnessed and what I've seen and what I've studied. But he does, there is things, if you study him enough, that you can see there is fundamental flaws there. There is some things that he does wrong. There is a few things that he really doesn't like. With Lomachenko, it's like nothing bothers him.
I've
watched him and watched him and watched him. And I've tried to study for these minor flaws and there is none there. The only thing I'd say is when he's switching stances from orthodox to southpaw, is he does tend to come square.
Right.
And that's how the knockdowns happened against Linares. He's been caught square and he's just been sat down. That is the only thing I can see. And mate, that is, you know, two or three times a fight.
Yeah, good luck capitalising
on
that.
You know what I mean? The timing and the weight you'd have to put in to try and come across that moment at that perfect time to cop someone is just millions to one. It really is, mate. So I really hope Luke gives himself credit and does as best as he possibly can, and I hope he gets in there and as I say, gives his all-time best performance, but I just don't see it being enough.
No. You touched on Usyk then. What do you think about Usyk, the heavyweight, as a contender? It's a weird division at the moment because it's in a state of flux, obviously.
Yeah.
Mr. Andy Ruiz threw it all into a state of flux, but where do you put Usyk then? Because he'll have a mandatory coming up soon because of the WBO and their regulations. Mm. He only really needs to have one fight at heavyweight and he's going to be right in the frame for the shot of the WBO belt. So
I caught up with him at the O2 about a month ago and he's just big. He's just big. But don't get me wrong, he'll be just as mobile. He'll be just as fluent and as good as he always is, mate, to believe you me. Like, I think he'll beat all of the smaller heavyweights in the world. He'll beat anyone until he gets to the Giants. I think the only people who he might struggle with is Tyson. I don't think he beats Tyson Fury purely because of the size.
Yeah.
I don't think he can beat Tyson Fury. And I think AJ might get to him. But I think every other heavyweight in the world he beats.
Well, as Andy Ruiz just proved, though, his fast hands, him being the smaller man, getting inside, letting those fast hands go, caused all kinds of problems for the Giants.
It did.
Has Usyk not got the hand speed to do them all?
It's not the weight and the power. That's the thing that troubled AJ. Was the purely just the weight and the power of seeing a punch that he didn't, getting hit by a punch he didn't see coming. You know, you can't get hit in the head off a man who weighs 19 stone 2 and expect everything to be all right. It's just that you're not living in the real world. When you're 19 stone 2 and you hit someone on the head, mate, you're going to wobble and rock them. And it's fair, as I said, he just didn't recover.
No.
And I think that's the biggest thing here that everyone's starting to miss. Everybody was going on about panic attacks and this issue, that issue. But you've just been hit on the side of the head and didn't see the punch coming off someone who weighs 19 stone 2.
Yeah.
And that is what happens. You know, you've got to look at it this way. When he knocks Ruiz down and Ruiz hits that floor, if he catches him clean again, the fight's over.
Yeah.
But he didn't catch him clean again. He got caught clean first, and this is what happens. It's boxing. It's like Russian roulette at times, especially in that division.
Is this why AJ's going straight back in? Because a lot of people are saying it's a massive mistake. He should go away. He should rebuild. He's only going back in because Eddie Hearn doesn't want to give Al Haymon control of all the belts by letting Ruiz go away and fight Wilder or do whatever. You know, is it purely because, hey, he got caught, and it can happen to anyone, get back in, and this time, take it to the next level, be a little bit more focused, give Andy Ruiz a little bit more respect, or...
I don't know, the Behind the Gloves thing, it's on Sky now, I think, when we sat down, myself, Johnny Nelson, Carl Froch, and David Hay, and Paulie Malignaggi, I think I just said him, and we sat down at the table, and we all discussed it, and Andy said, Johnny Nelson asked a question, yes or no, should AJ go straight in with the rematch with Andy Ruiz? And he went all around the table and he came to me last night and I said, I'm not going to tell you yes or no. I said, because that's not the answer. I said, the word that you're looking for is, he's got no choice.
Yeah.
no choice. And watching me, I said, he's got no choice. He has to. And I'm made up because 2 weeks later or 3 weeks later, AJ's done an interview. And he's come out and said, why did you choose to fight Andy Ruiz again in the rematch? He said, I've got no choice. And he hasn't.
No.
He's got no choice because who's he going to come back against?
Yeah. Will fans accept a Tony Schwartz? Will fans accept
a... No one's going to accept a Tony Schwartz. No one's going to accept a Dominic Brazil.
No.
You know, he's looked at as the premier heavyweight in the world. He's had a hiccup. He's got to go in there and make it right. Don't get me wrong. He's going to feel more pressure walking to the ring on this night than he has ever felt in his whole career because his career's on the line. And I say this because I know I've been there and done it. You will feel more pressure walking the ring that night than you will ever feel in your whole entire career. And that includes fighting for the Olympic gold because your career's not on the line when you're fighting for Olympic gold. If you don't get it, you know, you're going to turn pro anyway. Your future's in front of you. It's huge pressure because you've got the whole country on your back. I get that, but when you're walking that ring and you know, I lose this fight, it's over. I've done it 3 or 4 times. It's a scary pressure, mate, and it's not nice. And he's going to have to experience that. But I genuinely believe he can do it. I actually think he's going to wipe the floor with Andy Ruiz. I'd love to see him go in there and use similar tactics to the tactics used against Joseph Parker. But then, when you look at boxing from a technical point of view, you can't actually use that game plan, because what will happen is he will stand off like he did in Joseph Parker, use the jab, use reach. You can't do that with Andy Ruiz because Andy Ruiz will punch when you punch.
Yeah.
So you can't get away from him. So what you've got to do is you've got to stand your ground.
Yeah, yeah.
And you've got to nail him right down the pipe early, and you've got to make him not scared but wary of you, and make him respect your power. And the only way to do that is stand your ground early doors and let him feel it. And he's felt it already. So, you know, the good thing going for Edge is he knows he can hurt this man. It's not impossible. You've put him on the floor once. Just pick your spots better. I'd say that's the only advice you'll give him. And the most important thing that he needs to add to his game is relax.
Yeah.
Because...
Is that why we're going to Saudi then? Just to take that pressure off a little bit?
A little bit. But the most important thing, and it's so hard to explain to other fighters, of all I ever hear is people go, AJ, he's gassed after 2 rounds. He's blown up. This is probably the best conditioned heavyweight of the last 20 years. He's that good. He's in that good a shape. So people will go, why can Tyson Fury get up after 12 rounds and look at him physically and aesthetically? He doesn't look great. I'll tell you the answer. Why? Tyson Fury can fight and fight and fight because he relaxes so much when he fights. It's not an effort and a strain to him. Anthony Joshua, if Anthony Joshua and Tyson Fury lifted, done a strong man, Anthony Joshua would win every single day of the week. Of he would run faster. He would lift heavier. He would jump further. He would punch harder. Well, why don't all them things come into play when the actual fight? They don't come into play because you're not relaxing.
No.
But then when you relax, you don't tire in fighting. There's a reason why the likes of James Toney can sit there and be like 16 and a half stone, full of flab, and then he's facing a fella full of muscles, pumped up, juiced up to the tits, and this fella's blowing out of his hoop after 2 rounds.
Yeah.
It's a reason for that, mate. See, I've got relaxation.
I've got thoughts on that, though, because I believe that Tyson Fury, James Toney, they're natural-born fighters
who had
to train to be athletes. And I think Anthony Joshua is an athlete who's training to be a fighter.
100% I agree with that. I couldn't disagree with that at all. The thing with AJ is he's
AJ could have been a decathlon or a sprinter.
Without a shadow
of
that, he could have been a sprinter. I'm told he can run the 100 metres in something like 11 odd seconds.
Imagine him on a rugby field. He could have been unreal.
Phenomenal athlete. But at the same time, he's also a very good boxer, because you don't win Olympic golds and you don't become world champion and you don't compete with the likes of Vladimir Klitschko. If you're not, the thing that sets him aside, that's got him there, okay, it might not be his boxing ability, it's his will to win. His desire.
To be a champion.
Yes, he's driven, insanely driven, and he works extremely hard. And what comes easier to the likes of the other boxers, as in the boxing and fluent style, so what comes easy to Tyson Fury in boxing comes hard to Anthony Joshua. He struggles with the relaxing side of the game, with the slipping and countering, and with it being under pressure and staying relaxed inside, whereas that comes easy to Tyson Fury.
Yeah,
but then if Anthony Joshua is training and doing, you know, 50 rounds a day, that comes easy to Anthony Joshua. That then becomes hard to Tyson Fury. It's making the most of your attributes. Anthony Joshua has made the most of his attributes. That's why he's exceeded in the short space of time that he hasn't done what he's done. It's amazing that he's done what he's done, but he's a champion who's learning on the job.
Yeah,
he literally is, Nick. He's learning on the job, and there's nothing wrong with that. If anything, that's credit to him of how quick he's rose and how quick he's gone through the division, because he literally has. He's gone through it like a hot knife through butter.
Yeah.
Watching him right up until his last fight, it's like watching Mike Tyson in the 80s again. The way he just, in the 90s, he just goes through them. No messing around. He doesn't need to talk much trash. He just turns up and he gets the job done. He knocks you out. And that's what it is. I'm not saying he is Mike Tyson, because he's not. He's a completely different fighter. But it kind of resonates with him, the way he's gone through all these opponents and these guys. And now he's come up against a fighter who doesn't look great, but is a natural fighter.
Just a fighter. Fighting man, yeah.
That's what he is. And Andy Ruiz, even when he hit the floor, he didn't panic. First time he's ever been down.
Then got up and went, come on.
First time he's ever been down his whole career. Mm. And he just gets up, he gets on with it, and he relaxes. Whereas AJ goes down in the same round and he gets up and it's like, I'm trying to hold, and it just, everything looks panic. So panicked. And you just want to get him to relax. And the only thing that can get you to relax like that is having the confidence that you've been through it. Now, the good thing about it is he has been through it now.
Yeah.
So will he have the confidence to just go, right, calm down, relax, I don't need to panic, this isn't a race, I'm going to get you in the end. Only experience gives you that, and hopefully now he's had that experience, and my son stops looking through the window. Hopefully
he
now.
He sleeps that Everton kit, doesn't he?
Yeah, he loves it, mate, and that's the old one as well. He's got the new one there, but he just does anything. So hopefully, you know, he can now relax in fights,
yeah,
because that's the biggest thing. That
has it done him a favour as well, because it felt like making a fight with Wilder, making a fight with Tyson Fury, Wilder especially, because that was the big one. It never really seemed to get close, because, you know, whatever side you believe, I truly believe they put the right deal on the table, and Wilder's team made it hard for it to happen, or done everything they can for it not to happen. But after Ruiz has done that, don't you think Team Wilder, or Wilder especially, is like, get me that guy straight away? Because if Ruiz does it, I'll do it. Is it more chance of it happening now, these legacy fights, this big unified heavyweight champion?
I think they all know that they're all vulnerable. I think each and every fighter in the heavyweight division knows he's vulnerable. You look at, they've all been on the floor now. You know, Tyson Fury's been on the floor. Deontay Wilder's been shook to his boots walking around like he's drunk.
Yeah.
Ortiz has been on the floor. Dillian White's been on the floor. AJ's been on the floor. Ruiz's been on. They're all vulnerable, Nick. They're all vulnerable. No one is invincible in the heavyweight division. Well, no one's invincible in boxing, full stop. As I've always said, it's horses for courses when it comes to making fights. And I would, from the outside looking in, I've been in the position a few times that, if you genuinely believe you can beat someone and you'd have to take less money going into the first fight, don't do that, little legs. And you'd have to take less money going into the first fight, then you would take it.
Yeah.
You take it in a heartbeat, because it's still more than you've ever earned in your whole career. And the rematch is going to be worth even more. Andy Ruiz has just proved perfect. Look what he's just done.
Yeah.
And
I remember us having this conversation around Dillian White when Dillian turned down the fight at Wembley.
Yeah.
And he was, you know, £6-7 million on the table. And you said to me, you were like, take it, because the rematch is worth 20.
But then I understood why he knocked it back, because there were stipulations for the rematch. So he knew what he was getting for the rematch as well. Right. So then I understood then. At first, when you think about it, Dillian, you're being offered more than your money. More money than you've ever had in your whole career, but... And you're going to get even more in the rematch. Well, he wasn't going to get more in the rematch, because he stipulated how much he was getting for the rematch if he wins.
Right.
So that's the kind of thing. Now, that's what Andy Ruiz has agreed to. What Andy Ruiz signed for the fight. If you win, you get this for the rematch. He signed it. Andy Ruiz knows what he's getting for the rematch before the first fight.
Yeah.
So that's hard to be in. But you're in them positions because you're being given a shot when you shouldn't really be getting it. That's why you can dictate these terms of these fighters. That's why I always wanted to become mandatory challengers. That's why I always wanted to fight the contenders, and because I didn't want to get to a position where I'm being given a voluntary shot at a title, and then they've got all kinds
of their tunes. Then
that's it. Yeah. You know, you dance to their song, and I didn't do that. I always stuck by going down the proper route and attacking the WBC belts and trying to get my hands on one of them.
Is this why it's been so messy then? Because Team Rue is, because Al Heyman's not daft and he's gone, you're locked in for 10 million, so tell you what, let's push back on the venue, let's push back on this, let's basically push back on everything until they go, tell you what then, instead of 10, let's make it 15. Okay, instead of it being the UK then, we'll do it somewhere neutral. Okay, yeah. Was it all part of the game?
I mean, I think if Eddie and AJ really wants to sit down and say it's going to happen in England, it would have.
Of course.
It's up to them.
Because they've had the contract.
This is going to Saudi because they want it to. Simple as that.
Yeah.
It has... In my opinion, they have no say over this because Ruiz signed up to the rematch before the first fight had even took place. So you've got to understand, when you do that, you're contractually obligated to fulfil what you've signed.
And don't forget, that's part of the reason why he got the first fight,
I guess. Of course.
Because they know the guarantees there. Ruiz understood that. It wasn't like, if you win, this may happen. It was locked in. We're giving you this shot. But if you were to win... You've got to rematch him straight away.
Of course.
It is what it is. It's and that, black and white, that bit.
It is. And I've got friends who think that rematches shouldn't be allowed in boxing. Well, they should, because if they wasn't allowed in boxing, then you wouldn't see outsiders get a chance.
Yeah, exactly.
Simple as that. Because it'd be too dangerous to risk everything for nothing.
Yeah.
So AJ gets his second shot at the title to become a two-time world champion. And fingers crossed he does it. But it's not going to be easy.
No.
As I said, it's... fighting someone like Andrew Ruiz, and to be fair, I wrote him off going into the first fight, which I felt bad about when I looked back at it, but I was judging him by what I'd seen him do against Joseph Parker. I was also judging him by what his weight was on the scales.
Yeah.
And you shouldn't do that. I thought his attributes were modest. I thought he had fast hands, but I didn't think he had the power to trouble AJ, if I'm being totally honest. And, you know, he put a stone on from the Parker fight, and it was a stone of fat, let's be honest.
Yeah, exactly.
But
fried chicken.
It was a stone of fat that worked for him.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a stone of fat that made him heavier, and I don't want to say stronger, but it made this punch a stone harder. And it worked out for him, mate.
Do you think he'll come into the rematch heavy, just as heavy?
No, I think he'll
come in. He'll be lighter?
I think he'll be lighter. I think he'll want to be able to be a little bit quicker than he was in that first fight. His hands are fast, but his hands are only fast up close. You know, he doesn't really use a jab.
No,
it's just punched in combinations, and that's what he does, mate. And as I say, I'd know a game plan of how to do that, of how to beat that. Just a sec. Stop. Oh, I do know the game plan of how to beat that, but it's very, very tough, and you have to be willing to go in that water and get wet.
Yeah,
you do. AJ's going to have to realise is, listen, I'm going to get hit going into this rematch. I'm going to get caught a few times, but I've got to have the mental strength to go, okie doke sound.
Yeah, yeah.
That's okay.
It's all part of it.
Yeah, it's all part of it. I'm gonna take a little step back. I'm going to have a little breather. I'm going to get you in 20 seconds. I'm not going to get you right now. It's not tip for tat. You're not going to hit me. I'm going to hit you. It's like, okay, you've caught me. I'm going to have a little breather. I'm going to step back. I'm going to stay relaxed and calm. I'm going to have a look at you. Now I'm going to put you weigh you up. And now I'm going to finish it off or do whatever. So he was one punch away from wiping Andy Ruiz out.
Yeah.
But in that meantime, in that division, you're one punch away from being wiped out yourself, as it's shown. And
I think that's the thing that worried most AJ fans, myself included, as British Fight fans, obviously. But it was the alarm bells that went off, you know, going back to his corner, you know, asking his corner, what's he going to do next? What should I do? Like, it was as if he was a complete novice again. It shook him to his core so much, and you just think, how is the heavyweight champion of the world, like, completely and utterly lost control of his senses the way he has? He looked like a little boy lost in there. That was the most worrying thing. Because you thought, that would never happen to Tyson Fury, no matter how hard he got it.
It wouldn't, but that's purely just down to concussion.
Yeah.
I believe that, you know, you've been hit that hard, and you come back, and what's he going to do? What am I going to do? What should I do this? And he's got so much trust and belief in his coach, Robert McCracken, which he should have.
Yeah.
This is a man who's led him to Olympic gold from nothing, fighting in the ABAs to Olympic gold, European world championship success, whatever, world championship silver medalist, to world champion, British champion, whatever. This man has led him through his whole career. This is a man who's taught him basically from scratch. So he has the trust enough in him to say to him, what am I going to do next, Rob?
My head's scrambled. You take over.
Yeah, you know, listen, I'm trying to get me senses about me here. You tell me what to do. You tell me what's coming. And if anything, that shows such strength and character that he has to trust a man as much as he trusts Robert McCracken. So it's, like I say, fighters who are out there who will go, why is he asking that? Well, have you ever been knocked down and been flat on your face before? Because I have. And I've, you know, they're fighting Goodison Park. I'm winning the first round so well, everything's going great, and then I get my nose broken, dropped on the floor. I don't remember a single part of round two. It's gone from my mind. That's how hard
it is. Just autopilot.
I remember getting back to the corner and Dave Caldwell saying to me, you got greedy. Yeah. You got greedy. That's the last thing I remember. And then the next bit I remember is round three, attacking him. I don't even remember what he said at the end of
round two.
No. I just remember seeing the thing that comes back to my mind is me clipping him with the left hook as he comes into the corner and rocking him, and then he runs back.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
the thing. Just so that bit's blank in my mind. What's happened today, Jay, is he's been hit.
Yeah,
I've had numerous fights. I've gone through 12 round fights and not remembered nothing the next day. So that people have got to understand it does happen.
Yeah,
you know, your mind does go blank when you get hit hard enough on the head. So that's, in my opinion, that's what happened today, Jay. You know, he's gone down and he's probably thought, I'm just trying to figure out how I'm going to get my senses about me.
Yeah, what day is it?
You know, what am I going to do? And he's asking his coach, because you have to understand, he is the only person in the world that you can rely on for them 36 minutes. He is the only person who can help you. Yeah. No one else can.
Of course.
He is the only person who can give you some advice and help you. And if you can't ask him for advice, then who can you ask? Mm. Simple as that.
Absolutely. Do you still put AJ at the top of the heavyweight rankings?
You can't after he's lost. I don't think that would be fair. That would be being a disservice to someone like Tyson Fury or Deontay Wilder. I mean, I still think Tyson Fury beat Deontay Wilder fair and square. Didn't get the decision. But then he does himself a disservice with the last two clowns you've been facing on the comeback.
Mm.
So that's ridiculous. But if you want to go just purely who's the best on attributes alone and what they're doing, you'd have to say Tyson Fury, in my opinion. You'd have to say he's the best heavyweight in the world. If AJ comes back and destroys Andy Ruiz, then I'm sorry, he has to go back as the number one heavyweight in the world.
Because he's got most of the belts.
That's it. And then, you know, he's, if anything, it shows great character that he can avenge a defeat and go straight back in.
Well, that's it.
Beating.
You know, avenging defeats is what defines legacies, isn't it? You know,
Lennox Lewis.
All the greatest in history, you know, that's how you define your legacy. You come back and you avenge your defeat.
That's it. You know, we've seen many try, many fail. Also over the years, you know, we see the likes of the Mike Tysons try. You know, it was classed as a fluke what happened with Amanda Holyfield the first time, and then he comes back and he tries to do it again, and then all madness,
yep.
You know, happens within the rematch. But some fighters can do it, some fighters can't. I hope he can. I think he can.
Yeah.
But it is going to be hard. It's all about the manner of the victory for me. If he goes in there and blasts him in, let's just say one round, and knocks him out, then for me that's like, I won't know if he's learned the lessons from the loss.
Yeah,
you need to go 4 or 5 rounds to see that this lad's learned and took on board what's happened to him, and he's put it into practice and he's progressed in his career, because he has all the attributes and the tools to become the most formidable heavyweight in the world. He really does, Nick. He has the attributes and the qualities to reign for the next 5 to 10 years. He's that good, technically, physically, aesthetically. He's that good. He's just got to learn on the job and put things into place, because he can physically do it all. He's got a great jab. He's got an unbelievable right hand. He's vicious when it comes to combination punching. His counter punching is not the best, but that'll learn as he goes on, more experience. But his combination punching inside work, he's so fast, he's so powerful. He has all the attributes there. If he can just put all this into the box and relax, he's going to be the best heavyweight in the world by a mile, and he'll reign for a long time. But if he doesn't learn, he's going to end up coming a cropping in this next fight.
Yeah, and that could well be the end then.
In my opinion.
It's hard to come back from that.
It probably will be. Because, you know, what are you going to do? You lose to Andy Ruiz again. This kid's going to put me in this through. Stop it. Come in. Come in the house. Because you're kicking the ball against the windows. So, if he doesn't win, if he does lose to Andy Ruiz, stop, I'm talking, stop. I'll play with you in a minute, just give me a minute. I've been out with you for 2 weeks with an holiday, just wait. So, as if he does lose to Andy Ruiz, then, you know, in my opinion, the only comeback fight that would make any sense would probably be Dillian White.
Yeah.
Because there's so much pull around it, but if he doesn't meet it, it's very hard to take.
Absolutely. Let's talk about not necessarily Dillian, because listen, nobody knows the true facts at the moment. Nothing's gone public, but let's talk about drugs in boxing, because I know throughout your entire career you're a massive advocate of, never mind two strikes and you're out, one strike and you're out. Yeah. You know, unfortunately, even on this card we're getting 2 weeks' time, this Lomachenko card, once again, you know, we're getting airtime for Povetkin, a two-time drug cheat.
Yeah.
I would like to just see no one give that guy fights, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
Throughout your career, from the outside looking in, it looks like, and we were speaking to Robert Smith about this recently as well at the ringside in Liverpool, and he kind of accepted the fact that there's a fundamental issue between British Boxing Border Control, UKAD, who puts the penalties out there. Then you've got other governing bodies like VADA coming in because it was a WBC fight. The whole thing is just a mess.
Yes.
Can we improve boxing? Sounds terrible. If we had a FIFA, I know that's the terrible example because FIFA are probably more corrupt than any organisation in boxing, but would if everyone just said, right, that's it, every governing body, every state athletic commission, the British Boxing Board of Control, everyone will all sign up for VADA and everyone just follow the VADA code?
Well, first of all, I've been asked about it, and this is the first time I've done interviews since Dillian White's instance and scenarios happened. I didn't comment on social media, I didn't comment on anything.
Yeah, well, to be honest, a few people comment me going, oh, your mate Bellew's gone quiet, hasn't he? Because Dillian's mate's been popped. And I was
it's
like,
it's nothing to do with that. Now, the fact is, I know the facts in and around it. And the first thing, first and foremost, is let's just get one thing straight. Have you had come out and said Dillian White failed the drug test?
Not yet.
So who's saying Dillian White's failed the drug test?
Thomas Hausler, the American journalist.
Unbelievable.
Everything's been built off that.
Unbelievable that a journalist can release a person's personal public profile. Now, it's against data protection. It's against everything of how this journalist has gained access to its, what's it called, the way you look, when you see a doctor.
Yeah, yeah.
And what then does the
patient privacy, isn't it?
Yes.
Basically, like,
so it's personal data has been breached, and UKAD are not making a comment. So the first thing I'll say is I don't know how that's happened.
No.
Number two, I think UKAD is a sham of an organisation. I've dealt with them personally myself. You know, UKAD was still contacting me. They gave me an ultimatum in June this year and said, if you don't post your whereabouts now,
you're retired 9 months ago.
Let me finish this. I said, if you don't post your whereabouts to us right now, we're going to class you as failing a drug test. So, and he copied in, Eddie Hand, he copied in Robert Smith of the Boxing Board. So I replied back to my email, which I still have. I said, you fucking clowns. I said, did you not pay attention that I retired in November, you fuckwits? I said, also, you shouldn't be chasing a retired man. You should be chasing the known cheats that you are testing. This is how far behind UKAD are. They were attacking a retired boxer for a drug test whereabouts when I told them I'd retired. They don't pay no, so UKAD pay no attention to athletes or their actual individual sport because they would have known I was retired.
Of course.
It took Robert Smith to contact them and say he's retired for them to take that on board. And then thirdly, what I'll say is,
it's really concerning from the outside looking in that
they was
a company has been given the kind of authority they have. And they don't know the sport well enough to know that. Let's be honest, one of the biggest pay-per-view stars in the country has retired. That's baffling.
For the last 4 years, they've known where my head rests every single night of my life.
Which is great. And yeah. I'm all for that.
And I've done literally, amateur to pro, over 100 drug tests in my whole career. And the drug tester who I've had, Steve, if I'm brilliant, great fella, turned up at my house occasion after occasion, 4 a.m, 5 a.m in the morning, bloody hell, every week, every other week. Great fella, so I can't blame him, but UKAD as an organisation is a sham. And to be releasing personal information to a journalist before you've released it yourselves is a disgrace, and it shows you are an unprofessional outfit.
There's only three people who knew about this, who knew about the case, because it came out, WBC had no idea, you know, Ortiz's team had no idea there was anything going on, any kind of issues. So it's only the British Boxing Board of Control, UKAD, and Team Dillian White who knew something was happening. How did one of those three has had a breach and spoke to an American journalist? Like, that's what the thing I can't baffle.
It's insane, it's crazy. So what now I'll touch on to Dillian White. So the scenario on Dillian White is, Dillian White gets tested, I believe, a month before the bout.
Yeah.
So now, when I've been tested in the past, the results are through within a week. This is where it starts getting messy now.
Yeah.
I know the results within a week. So...
So would you kind of always message you and go, told that...
No, not
that
necessarily. I would check on the website.
Okay.
And it would say a pass. At the most, it would be a fortnight.
Yeah.
Quiet now, I'm just finished. Let me talk this important. So, a fortnight, the results are through, at the latest. So, Dillian White took his test a month before. The day before he took that test with UCAD, he took a test with VADA. This is still what this... So I'm releasing new stuff here that people don't know about. He took a test with VADA 48 hours prior to the UCAD test.
Yeah.
So, what comes back, literally a couple of days before his fight is, UCAD have said, you've got traces of such and such in your body. Traces, not you haven't failed, you've got X amount in your body. You've got small traces of a substance that used to be formerly known as something like Dianabol in your system. So he said, that's not possible. He said, I don't care what you say, it's not possible. And he said, well, what do you mean? He said, when was this test are you going by? Because at this stage now, he's probably done 4 or 5 other tests as well.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's going back off a test a month ago. Why are they only contacting him a couple of days before his fight about a test a month ago?
Yeah.
Why didn't they contact him 6 or 7 days immediately after he took the test? Because they know the results then. Why are they waiting for a month? I'm talking, wait. Close the freezer, please. No ice creams for a minute. I'm talking, close the freezer. So you go, why aren't they contacting him straight away after the fight? So I thought something was fishy straight away. So I kept my mouth shut.
And by now he's been told by VADA the test he took 48 hours before, that was fine.
The test he passed 48 hours before, the UCAD one, perfectly fine. Nothing, no traces of nothing. Bear in mind, VADA tests for more substances than UCAD.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've got more money than UCAD.
Of course.
So it's now at the stage of Dillian, as you've got tracing system. I don't know the ins and outs of everything, but I do know that VADA came forward on behalf of Dillian White and said, this man is not on drugs. It's not possible for him to have been taking drugs in the space of your test to our test.
Yeah.
If he did, he would be failing by a huge amount. He'd be jacked up to the nuts. He's got a minimal tiny trace of something in his system, yes. It could be from literally anything. It could be a trace of bloody hell, from a bit of dog food to a bit. It could be anything. Like, I don't want to. I'm not defending Dillian White here. If Dillian White had genuinely been taking steroids and injecting drugs, he should be banned for life.
Yeah.
Dillian White failed the drug test previously. Yes, he did. But so have many of the fights. I'm not going to name them, but the fights out there you're watching still know they've took a drink over the counter and drank a drink supplement. I'm not saying you're right. You're not. It's wrong what you've done. But these are the cases where fighters should be able to go, okay. Only in these cases only. You've took a drink, you've sniffed a Vicks or whatever. That isn't taking performance enhancing drugs.
No.
That's your first strike. That's someone who's made a mistake. Someone who's gone, you know what, I didn't know. I've took the drink and I'm sorry, hold my hands up. You know, that should be, in my opinion, a 6-month ban. But if you're caught injecting drugs and taking performance enhancing drugs, like Alexander Povetkin, like those... If you failed the drug test for performance enhancing drugs, you should be banned for life. And I stick by it to this day. If you've took a drink and you've got something in your system, okay, you should be slapped on the wrist and told, listen, you're 6 months, you're not earning any money, and you're also going to pay X amount or whatever, do whatever. But for someone who's went out of his way to pay for VAR test, and I pay for VAR test in all of my world title fights, it costs 50 grand.
Mm.
A drug cheat is not going to pay 50 grand out of his own pocket to get more drug testing in. And the reason Dillian White paid for VADA to come, he could have just left UCAD in charge, but he didn't. He paid for VADA out of his own money, is because he doesn't trust UCAD. And I can't blame him for not trusting UCAD, because UCAD are the same people who leaked information about Tyson Fury.
Yeah, yeah.
I haven't seen UCAD ever come out and say Tyson Fury actually failed a drug test still to this day.
No.
Have you ever seen that?
No, they dropped all. They didn't even... He actually wasn't even charged.
So
they basically just went, we can't afford to push this, so we're just going
to
end it.
So if they can't afford to push it, what are they doing in control? Why are they in control of these testing? Because if it's like Canelo fails a drug test, and it was with VADA, I believe.
Yeah.
He come on and just said, lad, you failed a drug test, bang, there it is. Canelo's the biggest star in the sport in America, on North America. So how can he fail a drug test and they just slam him straight away? And then UKAD over here don't even release anything. It's unprofessional. It's wrong what they're doing. So it's just, it's a sham, mate. It's a big, big mess. And I don't think Dillian White's on drugs, but if it proves Dillian White is on drugs and is taking performance-enhancing drugs, injecting steroids, ban him for life. I don't care if he's friend or no friend. They should be banned for life. It's that simple, mate. Do I think he's on them? Absolutely not, no. Because a drug cheat isn't spending $50,000 extra on drug testing. No. You know, Canelo was not on the WBC program for a long time. Then he came on the program and he failed through going on the WBC program. I've been on the WBC program for the last 6 years.
Yeah.
The last 6 years I've been on that WBC in Cleveland, the CPB, the
But again, isn't that part of the problem with boxing? It's like, shouldn't everyone just be on the same program? Everyone should be doing the same thing.
To be fair to the WBC were the only organization who said, you can't be in our rankings if you don't sign up to our program. So it's a fair play to the WBC. They've set it out now. At one point, I was under VADA, WADA and UKAD, three organisations. And in the build-up to the 2A fight and the Usyk fight, like, Hay was signed up to one of them, but he wasn't signed up to the other one because he refused. There was another one where they were
signed. You can't refuse to be signed to UKD, can you? Because that's British
Boxing
Board Control.
No, that's British Boxing Board Control.
You can't knock that one back?
You can't knock it back or boxing them. So if the top 20 fights in the country have to be signed up to the UKAD, through the boxing board, and I come under them top 20, so I was signed up from the minute the UKAD one started. But I was on UKAD when I was boxing for England and GB.
Yeah.
So, as I say, I just think they're very unprofessional what they're doing, and to leak someone's personal information and not release the results of the test yourself is an absolute sham. You want to be ashamed of yourselves. Whoever's running your organisation is a joke, and you're not to be trusted. And I understand now why fighters are going, I'm going to employ VAR, because they can be trusted. Because if you fail with VADA, they will just come out and say, listen, you failed. We don't care. We don't care what sort of lawyers you're going to hit us with, what solicitors. You failed your drug test. Why haven't UKAD done that? Why haven't UKAD just come out and said, right, we tested Dillian White on this day, he failed on this. Simple. Nothing we can do, we're just letting the public know. I don't understand why. What are you hiding? What are you doing? It just sounds so dodgy. It really does.
It was similar with the two Furies, wasn't it? It was over a year before something come out, and it was like, why have we waited a year? You're talking about a test that was a year ago, and now you're saying, oh, there was an adverse finding, and it took another year for them to go, ah, we're just going to backdate a ban, we're just going to walk away,
and
it's
then,
fine.
And then they said he refused it. One of them was he refused the test, so that's classed as a fail on another one for Tyson Fury. It's mad how it is, and I'm sure Fury would be able to open up and say, listen, they're a joke themselves.
Yeah,
you'd either come out and say a fail, or you take it back. And it's like UKAD were like, well, you've spent 2 years out of the game, so it's kind of, you know, we've got what we wanted and you've got what you wanted. It's a sham, mate. That's true. If you fail a drug test for performance enhancing drugs, you should be banned for life. So if you've been taking obscene amounts of bleeding, you know, testosterone, or you've been taking obscene amounts of HGH growth hormone and nandrolone, you should be banned, mate. You're a danger to boxing. You shouldn't be allowed back in the boxing ring. Simple as that. That's my opinion. My opinion rolls the same if you're my friend or not. But then, you know, you have to look into the facts of, like I say, when Jarrell Miller failed, it's right in front of you. You fail for five substances, nandrolone, testosterone.
Well, EPO is the one.
HGO.
You can't digest EPO. EPO. You have to inject EPO. So, it's the only way you can get in your system.
So EPO, when you fail for that many things, just ban you for life, mate, because you're a wrong one.
And yeah, he's available to fight now because he wasn't registered with the New York State at the time, so he fell through a loophole. So they couldn't actually ban him.
Jesus Christ.
You know.
It's unbelievable, mate. It's unbelievable. I've met Jarrell, and I think Jarrell's sound. I like Jarrell. He's okay, but he shouldn't be allowed in the boxing ring. Yeah, it's wrong, mate. Like I said, it's going to happen, and I'm happy I'm off the game now, but it's going to happen. Someone's going to die at the hands of a drug cheat. Don Carter, it is going to happen.
Yeah.
And when it does happen, we'll I hate to say I told you so, but what will happen is it will come down hard on boxing.
Yeah.
It will come down hard on boxing. I don't know if someone's going to get sent to jail. I don't know what's going to happen, but it will be boxing that suffers. It really will. And hopefully the cheat suffers who's done it as well.
Well, there should be criminal charges.
Of course, mate. It's got to go to jail.
Yeah.
Got to go to jail because that is a criminal offence. You are gaining an unfair advantage in a combat fight. Boxing's hard enough as it is without drugs involved.
Listen, mate, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it. Good to see you doing so well. Next at ringside, you're going to be at the Lomachenko fight?
Yeah, mate, I'm going to be working for Sky for that night. I try and do as many as I can these days, but I kind of...
Enjoying it again?
They're a no-no. Skittles are a no-no. Don't be eating them. No, 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 no. Sorry, mate.
Enjoying it again? Because I know you wanted a good break from it when you first retired.
Yeah, do you know what? I always
do
get,
miss it?
I always get piss artists on my social media. You want to disappear and all that, and you want to just... Yeah, I enjoyed disappearing for quite a while. I've talked about boxing and I've done stuff like that. In all honesty, no, I don't like the fame. Listen, I could be on a show or be in the public eye every week if I wanted to. I get that many opportunities and offer to do that many things. I pick and choose what I do. I do things that make me happy and make me smile.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't do things that make me sad and make me not happy. And I'm very fortunate and lucky that I've been able to take that path in life and choose what I want to do. Not everyone does. When it comes to talking about boxing, it's the only thing I truly know. So, you know, if someone wants to pay me a lot of money to talk about it, then why shouldn't I?
Of course.
Simple as that. I still love boxing. You know, it's given me and my family a great life. And I'm being very fortunate to achieved more than my wildest dreams. You know, I've done more than what I ever set out to do. I've been a British, Commonwealth, European and a world champion. And I've done fantastic financially out of a business that sucks up and swallows most. You know, less than 1% of boxers get out of the game with the health intact and financially secure. Less than 1%.
Absolutely.
So I'm that 1%, mate.
And you're never coming back, please?
No. Don't get me wrong. It has crossed my mind a few times. It has. It does cross my mind. If anything, getting in a cage crossed my mind even more.
No way.
Yeah. But I don't
know. Did you speak to the UFC?
I spoke to guys from, what's the company called? IMG is it called? Yeah, I spoke to guys from IMG, but that was when I was a long, long time ago. I was still fighting then. And they was happy to see me in one, but no.
Did DC got beat at the weekend?
I'm very shocked. I haven't seen it all yet, but I did not see that coming.
Yep.
Miocic got it done.
For me, Cormier wins the first three rounds. But then
did he just ground him? I haven't seen it. So was it just ground and pound? Was he taking him down?
It's three rounds in. He's done. Like Miocic is just getting pinged everywhere on the feet. Cormier can take him down, do what he wants. And then in the fourth round, Miocic comes out and just starts dropping that little shoulder and sinking the left to the body.
Ooh.
And he hits him once and DC goes, boom, and that's it. From then on, Miocic is just, go on then, left to the body, go on then, left to the body. And about six body shots later, DC's crumpled up against the fence and he just finishes him. He just changed his tactics. In one round, he come out and went, I'm now going your body.
That's a
DC couldn't live with it.
That's a big, big shock. Well, I'll tell you what's going to happen now. John Jones is going to go for Stipe Miocic.
I hope so.
And he'll do Stipe Miocic.
John Jones is the greatest of all time.
John Jones is the greatest thing I've ever seen.
That.
No.
Even though we're DC fans, you can't deny that.
I am a massive DC fan. I love his personality. I love the way he is. I can't wait to meet him. I'm going to meet him at some point. I think DC's
Joe Rogan's come out now and gone, Stipe is the best heavyweight of all time.
What, has he really?
Yeah, he's come back. That's it. Stipe is definitely the best heavyweight of all time. Oh, there's been two fights there. And for me, DC wins the first fight, knockout in the first round.
Yeah.
Second fight, DC wins three rounds and then loses the fourth. So for me, over two fights, that's 4-1 in rounds. DC, for me, still the better fighter. He just got...
I think Daniel Cormier is a more well-rounded fighter than Stipe Miocic.
Me too, yeah.
I think he's a much more well-rounded fighter, good on his hands. Probably the second best wrestler in the UFC.
Yeah, man.
He might even be the best. I mean, he could not wrestle John Jones, but I don't see anything that anyone can actually beat John Jones.
Yeah, yeah.
It's mad, mate. It's
changing UFC though, isn't it? There's a lot more wrestling involved. It's gone back towards the wrestlers. I think right now, out of the 13 weight divisions, I think only two haven't got a background in high level wrestling.
Ah, okay. Well, Conor McGregor was a one-off, wasn't he? He was a freak with the way he was doing things. It was all about the striking and the timing for someone like Conor McGregor.
Yeah.
See, people underestimate the likes of Jose Aldo reigned for so long, but we never got to see Jose Aldo's jiu-jitsu, really. I'd never seen him choke or tap.
No, the stand-up was so good.
The stand-up and the Muay Thai from the leg kicks and the punching was so good. Of the next generation now... I tell you what, that Mass Vidal is.
Yeah,
he keeps shocking people, don't he?
Being on fire.
He just keeps rendering people unconscious. He's a dangerous man.
Diaz fought at the weekend.
Yeah.
3 years out, battles Andy Pettis.
That's a big, big win because
Pettis had just knocked out Stephen Wonderboy Thompson, who went the distance with Till.
With Till.
So Diaz has literally put his name right back in the frame.
Pettis has always been someone who's of a kind of, it's hard to explain, that kind of matrixy fighter. Yeah. Fellow who's jumping off the cage, flying kicks and knees and whatever have you.
He moved up to 170 and was having this big revival, but Nate's just snuffed that right out. Typical Nate Diaz, just walked through everything he hit him with, ground him down, and was just too good
it's
for
crazy
him.
How much they rate Nate Diaz's actual boxing, because he does a lot of sparring with boxers who I know. You know, Gabe Rosado said he's tough, man, he's hard, he's hard as rocks.
Yeah, yeah.
He said he really is, but his boxing might not be the best, but compared to the other UFC fighters, it actually is. It's on another level. I don't know how it's going to go. There's so many great fighting. That's why I love the UFC. It's one organisation. It's one body.
So the fight's going to happen.
They're always going to happen.
Because in the build-up to that fight, everyone was going, Nate wins, he's going to call out Conor. Conor 3 will be amazing. Yeah. Do you know what Nate did? He battered Pettis and went, bring me whores of Hey Masvidal. I'll show him what a proper gangster can do. And we're just like, oh, that's going to be the biggest fight ever.
That's boss.
And now everyone's just like, Conor, like, making Masvidal versus Nate Diaz.
Wow.
That will be massive. East Coast versus West Coast. Yeah, proper gangsters.
See, that'll be in Vegas, that. And I don't like Vegas. Not for me, but I'd love to see that. Oh, mate. I still haven't been to a UFC event outside. I've only been to the one in Liverpool.
Yeah, yeah.
I need to go to a big one. But I don't like Vegas. Just not for me.
Well, they reckon Till could fight in November, I think it is. UFC New York.
He's fighting.
Madison Square Garden.
He is fighting Gastelum, isn't he?
Well, what happened was, because everyone's gone at Till now, because Till come on this show last week and said, I want to fight Gastelum, and named the fight, said, I want to do it in New York. But the reason was, and he explained it, Gastelum went on his social media and went, who shall I fight next? And listed 3 or 4 fighters, and one of them was Till. And Gastelum's fans overwhelmingly voted, fight Till. So now Till's gone, okay, let's do it then. Let's do it in New York in November.
That's a really good fight.
Him stepping up to middleweight, of course.
That's a really good fight, because Gastelum was unusually durable. I mean, I think he got stopped not long back.
Yeah, yeah.
Someone flattened him. I can't think who it was.
He got beat by.
But he beat Robbie Lawler. Didn't he beat Robbie Lawler?
Adesanya beat him in a bloody war, if you remember. Adesanya.
But I think he beat Robbie Lawler.
Yeah, yeah.
He got a decision past him, and it's a good fight for Dan. I think it's inevitable Dan had to move up in weight. He's another kid and a brilliant striker. Brilliant, brilliant striker. I'm not too sure how good his jiu-jitsu game is, because we haven't actually really seen it yet.
No.
I mean, it must be good, because he spent that much time out in Brazil.
I was going to say, you don't live in Brazil for that long and not pick something up.
And that's what I'm saying, mate. So it will. It's just that none of us have had the chance to see it yet against, you know, his loss against Tyrone Woodley and then against Masvidal. The fights, the knockout loss, that can happen to anyone, because you get it with them gloves on. You're going out, mate. I don't care who you are.
Yeah.
As the UFC has shown, anyone's getting knocked out. The greatest one I've ever seen of all time, barring John Jones, Anderson Silva. We watched him get clipped on the chin by Robbie Lawler all them years ago, and he was out, mate. He was gone. And it just goes to show with them.
Chris Weidman, wasn't it?
Chris Weidman, not Robbie Lawler. Chris Weidman clipped him on the chin as he's leaning back.
I was in Vegas for that fight. I was ringside for that fight.
And that was one of the biggest shocks you've ever been. Because I think he fought Weidman just previously. And he fought.
That was the first fight. And Weidman clipped him and knocked him out. And then he rematched.
Checked his leg and broke it. Snapped it. Stop it.
I wasn't at that one, thank you, but I was at the first
one. So the Weidman fight, he kept going. If I remember correctly, Silva kept going on the floor and sitting on his back, and then he kept doing possum things, whining,
messing around, dropping his hands, doing all that with his chin.
Because
he'd done that for 10 years.
Yeah. And then he got clipped. And as I said, I've gone on record saying a few times in the UFC, I've seen more padding in gloves out of next than I've seen in the UFC.
4 ounce gloves,
mate. And as he didn't even hit Anderson Silva, he just clipped him just on the button, and he's out.
It's like you chilling with someone with an oven glove on.
Mate, it's frightening, but as you know, I'm a massive fan. I've been watching for so many years, all the way back to Mark Kerr, the Smashing Machine.
Yeah, man.
To the Tito Ortiz days.
Well, listen, if Till does fight in New York, we should go.
Oh, New York,
Let's go to New York and watch Till.
I love New York. I've been to New York 5 or 6 times. I love New York. And I'm a Dan Till fan. I always try and support him as much as I can. He's a brilliant fighter. I know he's very outspoken. People say he shouldn't say. He speaks his mind.
That's why people love him.
So see what he does, mate.
That's why he's got such a big following.
I hope that fight happens. Do you think it'll happen?
I think so. I think if both of them want it, it will happen. Mm. And they want Till to come back, and he said it's
been a while now since he's fought.
Yeah, of course. I think he needed a break, because you know it wasn't just it was a big knockout, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And I was speaking to Dan on the show last week, and he was saying he's been fighting 20 years, had over 100 fights, including Muay Thai and everything. He said Never happened to me before. Never even happened to me in the gym. Mm. I've never been wiped out before. I've never woke up in the gym and gone, what happened? First time it ever happened. I think that was the big shock. But speaking to him last week, because I needed to see him. Because don't forget, a good friend of Till's training partner, a good friend of ours, Terry Yetham. Yeah. Same thing happened to Terry, never recovered.
Yeah.
His career, he was never able to put himself back in the frame again.
A lot of fights can't struggle with that, and I understand and get it out of the like. I've been around boxers who it's happened to. I've had it happen to myself, although I've never been left unconscious on the floor. I've always been stopped on my feet in every fight I've ever had. But even with the Usyk one, I'm down on the floor, I'm heavy down, but I'm up. By the count of six, I'm up against Dollar Stevens, I'm up. In both occasions, the referee saved my life. I genuinely believe that, because I'd have carried on fighting. They could have killed me.
Yeah.
So I can relate to it to a certain income, but I don't know. So I always remember Ricky Hatton saying he felt so embarrassed and so ashamed. Wait, I'm talking. So when he said he's so embarrassed and ashamed, I could get that. But no fighter. I'm talking, we're doing a video just to set. Yeah, I'll do that in a minute. Give me a minute. So when a fighter does it and says, you know, they feel so much, I do get it. But you should never feel embarrassed and ashamed of losing a fight by a knockout, because it can happen to absolutely anyone. Yeah. If it can happen to the legends like Mike Tyson and, you know, and people like that, then it can happen to absolutely anyone. Nobody is too good to get knocked out. Nobody should ever feel ashamed. You should be very proud of yourself just by getting in a ring or getting in a cage and competing at the level you're competing at.
Yeah. The good thing with him is, like, listen, I've got 9 years of this to go. I'm retiring at 35. I'm only 26. So
wow,
this is part of the journey.
He's a baby.
He was like, I'm 26. I've headlined all these UFC cards. I've fought for the title. I've been knocked out now I've experienced it all. Wait and see what comes next. Wait and see how good I am next time. You think that's the right attitude? Because from day one, I used to sit with him and he'd go, one day I'll lose. And I was going, yeah, but you're undefeated record. And you're going, no. One day I'll lose. I've lost before. Mm. And it's hard. And I'm looking forward to it because that's when I'm going to show the world how good I am.
It is, mate. It is hard. Losing is the hardest part of your career. That's the other thing I can say the most. It's I think more about the losses than I do the wins. And that's what sits with you. Wait, I'm talking. Wait. In a minute when I've finished. So talking about the losses stick with you far more than the wins.
But the losses define the wins in a lot of ways, though.
Don't get me wrong. When I think about boxing these days, I think about Goodison Park.
Absolutely, so do I.
But at the same time, I think, imagine if I'd done this right, or imagine if I'd done that right, or should I have done like everybody? Shouldn't I have done it? Should I have started cruiserweight? Should I have fought Donna Stevenson? Should I have got the decision over him? But ultimately, all the roads then lead back to Goodison Park. And when I see people in the street, they don't think that, because they all go, lad, you beat David A twice. And I'm like, I don't care.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not bothered. Weren't you there at Goodison Park?
Did you not see Goodison Park? I mean, did you not experience it? Did you not get the buzz when you hear that cars? But I'm so stupid that I think everyone else would believe it, but it's not that. It's just, I'm going forward in the future when I'm trying to help fighters now. I just want them all to feel the moment that they've been dreaming for. So like Thomas Whitaker Hart, like Craig Glover, like Jazza Dickens, I want them to each achieve their dreams. Now, their dreams might not be the same as mine, but their dreams might be a British title, an English title, a world title, a European title. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I just want them to feel that fulfillment that I've felt, that way I've fulfilled everything I wanted to do. Because that way, when you say boxing's over, it's over.
Of course.
I don't want to be helping people and they're having fight after fight after fight and they're past it.
Yeah.
And they get hurt. I don't want to do that. I want to see them achieve what they set out to do.
Get paid.
Yeah. Boxing is a very unforgiving sport, and it's a sport that you don't get looked after for doing overtime.
No.
So get in and out as fast as you can. And that should go for all UFC fighters as well. Get in and out. Rob the bank.
Absolutely.
Rob the bank, mate. Get in and out.
Listen, pleasure as always.
Always a pleasure, mate.
This is how you know when you've made it, when you've got palm trees in your garden.
You know what, mate? They're just trees. All trees are the same. But thank you very much.
Much.
It's always a pleasure, mate. Cheers, thank you. Keep watching Fight Disciples.
Exactly.
Thank you for listening. If you like what you heard, subscribe via iTunes.